So we're in Parak Vav, Halacha Tet Zayin. And again, now we're dealing with various halachas in relation to benefiting from a malacha that a non-Jew does. And now specifically, we dealt with business, what do you call it, issues, hiring them as laborers, etc. On that note, the Rambam says Halacha Tet Zayin. He says, Mutar lahashul kelim ulhaskiron legoy. So it's permitted to go ahead and, let's say, rent out, well, it could literally mean clothing, but any, objects to non-Jews on Shabbos. V'af bishu osib hem malacha b'Shabbos. So even though, again, even though hiring a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbos is prohibited, but I could, for instance, lend my car to a non-Jew during the week, even though he'll drive it on Shabbos. Let's assume driving a car is a malacha. Because we're not commanded on the resting of our property, all right? So things like, let's say your furniture, if you wanted to lend it out to a non-Jew, that's perfectly fine. Aval behemto ve'avdo aser. But of course, your animals and your servants are prohibited. So that would be prohibited. So when it comes to... let's take two cases. Let's say lending out your shovel to a non-Jew, knowing full well he's going to go ahead and dig with it. That's perfectly fine, but you would not be allowed to go ahead and lend, the non-Jew your animal if you know he's going to use it on Shabbos, because it's since it's still you still have bilus on the animal, that would be a problem insofar as the malacha being done for the animal, or the animal doing the malacha. Okay, Halacha Yud Zayin. Now, this is also a common case. Hamishtatef ima. This is a very common case. Hamishtatef ima goy b'malacha o b'schor o b'chanos. Now, this is actually extremely practical. All right, you go into business in a partnership with a non-Jew. Okay, to some capacity. Okay, and you're running a storefront together. Okay, okay. So the what's going to come up now is making money on Shabbos. So im hisnu b'tchila, right? She is schar ha-Shabbos l'goy levado. Right, imat im harbe, uschar yom echad keneged yom haShabbos liYisrael levado mutter. Okay, so one solution to this potential problem, which again the problem being you making money off the non-Jew doing malach on Shabbos. So one way is to make a tanai, which basically says that any profits made on Shabbos go to the non-Jew. Okay, and then to counter that, there's another day of the week where the Jew gets all the profits. Okay, so again, let's say every day they split the profits, all right, like a normal business model, 50-50. However, they make a clause where on Shabbos, the non-Jew makes 100% of the profit, but in turn, the Jew on, let's say, Mondays makes 100% of the profit, okay? And that situation would be mutter to do, okay? So what the Rambam's telling you is that you can make a tanai like this, and it's perfectly legal. It's not a loophole. It's perfectly mutter. Vim lo hisnu betchila, but let's say they didn't make a tanai, okay? So they went into the business and... then they just said, we're going to split profits 50-50. So now, kishiyavo lachlok, so when they come to split up the profits, notel hagoy schar hashabasos kulon levado, v'ashar cholkenoso. In that situation, the non-Jew takes all the profit that was made on Shabbos, that goes to him, and everything else gets split, okay? V'ein mosif lo klum keneged yom haShabbos, el imkin hisna betchila. You can't use this this idea of one day the Jewish prophet, one day the non-Jewish prophet, and everything else split, unless they made that tanai in the beginning. V'cheinim kiblus sadeh b'shutfus din echadhu. And it's the same thing if they went into partnership and ownership of a field. So, the Rambam continues in Halacha Yud Ches, v'im lo hisnu ubo lachlok. Again, let's say that they didn't make the tanai and they come to divide up the money, haschar, right? V'lo haya schar Shabbos yadua. Okay, so now let's say they have a problem. They don't know how much profit actually came through on Shabbos. They're unsure. So what do they do? So the Rambam surmises, Yireli also, I'm not sure if we saw this before, but a Yireli in the Rambam is his intuition. It's his svara, okay? So he says, Sha'goy noto levado shviya haschar v'ashar chokin. So what should the goy do? The goy should take 1/7 of the weekly profits, okay? So again, let's say at the end of the week, you made, you made X number of dollars. So rather than split that 50-50, first you would take out 1/7 and give it to the non-Jew. Okay? Hanosen ma'os l'goy li sasek behen. Now let's say you give money to a non-Jew to invest, to play with, so to speak, to invest. Afa b'isha goy nosev and nosev b'shabbos, right? Even though the again, you're investing in the non-Jew. Even though the non-Jew is doing malacha on Shabbos, cholakimo b'schar b'shabbos. So that's another important halacha. In a case where you're investing in the non-Jew, so again, it's not really a partnership, but it's an investment, right? But you give him that money. In other words, you make a deal. The money is yours to use. So since it's in his bailus for that period of time, whatever he makes on Shabbos is perfectly fine, okay? And you're allowed to split the profits with them. So that's the other way, so to speak, around the issue. If there is a if there's a situation of an investment where there's more of a transfer of control over the funds, so in that situation, you wouldn't have to split the profit that comes in on You could split the profit that comes in on Shabbos. Okay, halacha yates. Okay, now the Rambam switches gears a little bit. Lo yitain adam be'er Shabbos kalim le'uman goy la'asosan. Okay, afa pisha pasak imo. Okay, so now this is a slight, restriction, but you'll see why it exists. So I cannot give, let's say I hire a blacksmith to make me a sword, I guess, or whatever, a pot. So I can't give the raw materials, okay, necessary, or let's say the tools necessary to fabricate the pot on Erev Shabbos, even though I made a deal with him, even though I hired him for the job, okay? Why? Ela b'chdeish yatsa b'hem b'beisa kodem shechashecha. Rather, if I gave it to him, it has to be, there's enough time for him to go ahead and take that which I'm giving him out of the house prior to Shabbos beginning, okay? So as long as it's that period of time for me to transfer over the kalim to him and him leave the house before Shabbos starts, then it's mutter, okay? You'll see why. V'chein lo yimkor adam chafetz av l'goy, v'lo yashilano, v'lo yilono, v'lo yimshechano, right? V'lo yiten lo matana. Okay, so the same thing applies to a sale, or to lending him something, or to collateral, or giving him a gift, all these things. As long as he's able, you can do this, if he's able to, upon receiving whatever you're giving him, he's able to leave the premises, your house, prior to Shabbos beginning, right? Why? Because as long as he's in your house, ein adam yodea emasai nasalam, okay? So as long as he's in your house, nobody knows when you gave him whatever these kalim are, right? And when he leaves, right? So when the non-Jew leaves your house and Shabbos has already started, and he has, let's say, the Jewish-owned kli, he's going to appear, note the Maris Ayin thing, he's going to appear as if I gave it to him on Shabbos itself. So again, even though I gave it to the non-Jew before Shabbos started, if he leaves my house and he's carrying in his hand, let's say the shovel, okay? So now the problem is that people are going to say, oh, I gave him that shovel after Shabbos started. Okay, so as long as he's able to leave the house prior to Shabbos starting, then it's mutter to go ahead and give him these things on Erev Shabbos. Okay, Halacha Chaf also has practical implications, because we're going to deal with the postal service and mailing letters. So hanosen igeres legoy lolicha liracheres. Okay. So what do? I give a letter to a non-Jew. Okay, and I ask him to go ahead and deliver it to a different city. He's a postal worker. Im katzati moschar holacha mutter. So if we if we went ahead and settled on a fee for him to be paid for delivering the letter, then it's mutter to do. Okay. Even if I gave it to him on Erev Shabbos, okay, before sunset, as long as, again, he left my house with the letter, or whatever the package is, right, prior to Shabbos beginning. Okay, but let's say I didn't, there was no settling of a fee prior to this service. If there's a set person, an actual real postal worker, and he's the person who gathers all the letters together and sends them out to countries around the world, it's permitted to give the non-Jew the letter. But as long as he has enough time, right, to get to the outermost house, okay, in the city prior to Shabbos beginning. Okay, so similar concept. Shema, right? Zeshem akabat se igros v'shochen beso samach l'chomahu, right? Assuming that the gatherer and the shulchan are in the house that's closest to the wall, meaning the border of the city. V'im'ein sham adam kavua, but let's say there is no individual, no actual hired postal worker. L'kach, ela goy shenosam lo igeres, hu shemolicha le'ir acheres, also l'shloch biyad goy ha'igeres olam, alimikin katzas l'damim. But if he's a non-specific postal worker, meaning he's not really a postal worker, then it's actually prohibited to give him the letter to, what do you call it, to deliver, if you didn't set with him a fee beforehand. So again, in the case of Igeres, what the Rambam is focusing on is really the issue of is this considered like a contracted job, right? You know, and again, when you're hiring him to do this specific job, just like building a house, and then he explains those limitations of Halacha Chaf. Halacha Chaf Aleph, the Rambam says, Goy Shehevi Chafetza B'Shabbos, okay? That is also a very important kula. A non-Jew who brings, let's say, things over on Shabbos. So again, in the case in Halacha Yutes, we're worried about, or Yuches, we're worried about me giving the non-Jew something before Shabbos starts. But what if the non-Jew comes over? What if John the Christian lives down the block from me? He comes over bringing all sorts of shovels and whatever to my house on Shabbos itself. V'hnis on the basis of mutter. He's allowed to bring it in. He is allowed to bring in stuff to my house. V'afilu amar lo, hanichan b'zavis zu, harezen mutter. I can even tell him to put it in the corner. That's 100% mutter. Okay? Not only that, umizamnin esagoy b'shabbos, v'nosan afanda b'zonos lo'oklon. You can invite John the Christian over on Shabbos, right, to go ahead and eat with you. 100% mutter. V'imnatlan v'yatsa, ein iskakon lo, mesh ein shvisaso aleinu. Right? And if he goes ahead and, takes the food from your house and leaves, we don't stop him because there's no issue of shvisa in his framework. So too, if you fed your dog, right, then the same issue exists. We don't stop that from happening. So the one area, in other words, this is the limitation of where the rabbinical prohibition goes. Because remember, as we said all along in this parak, there is no reality of malacha, in the framework of a non-Jew. It's just an issur derabanan that Chazal put in. So the limitation is here, where even though I can't give something to a non-Jew before Shabbos if he doesn't have enough time to leave my house because of Maris Ayin, on the other hand, that doesn't stop the non-Jew from coming over and hanging out with you, and that's the limitation of where Maris Ayin will go. Meaning we're not worried about a person saying, oh, look, he left Ginsburg's house with food, there must have been something going on there. So we don't concern ourselves with that, when it comes to a non-Jew coming over. Okay. Halacha Chaf Beis, this is also a very well-known halacha. Mishahaya ba baderech, v'kiddush alav hayom. Okay, so now we're going to switch again a little bit. You're walking along, you're traveling, and Shabbos begins. V'hayu imo ma'os. Okay, it turns out in your pocket you have money. Okay, I think this probably happened to everyone at some point. You find that lone nickel that was left in your pocket before Shabbos. Nosen kisa l'nachrei. So what you do is you give your, let's say, wallet, okay, in this case, or the little pouch with money, you give it to a non-Jew, leholicholo, okay, to take it away, ulumotzi Shabbos, right, lochoimenu, and I could take it from him, a motzi Shabbos, okay? V'afapish lo nasnu lo schar al zeh, even though I didn't pay him for this. Now, why? Why am I allowed to do this? V'afapish nasnu lo mishachashecha, even if I gave it to him after Shabbos started. Mutter, why? V'nesha adam baho amamono v'yevshar shiyashlichenu. Simple, because we worry about our money, okay? We're going to be distracted. We're going to be distraught. We're going to be upset. We're going to be thinking about, oh my God, what am I supposed to do about this money? Meaning, what would you normally do? You would leave it on the ground or something. But then there's no way, there's no way to protect it, okay? V'mlo tatir lo davar zeh. Now, this is an important principle. If we don't matir, if we don't allow the Jew to give that money that he's not allowed to carry around on Shabbos to a non-Jew, right? She'ein yisur element of yisur for him. Yavo lahavio biyadov over amalacha shel Torah. Okay, what's going to happen is that if we don't allow him to go ahead and violate this rabbinical law, okay, he's going to go ahead and instead violate a Torah law. There are many examples of this in existence in Shabbos, where the principle is that there's two. It's literally the lesser of both evils. Okay, where ultimately, really, it shouldn't be a problem midirabanan, right? But if we don't allow him to do it, it's a problem midirabanan. Right, but if you don't allow him to do it, he's going to go ahead and be over the deraisa because he's going to be so emotionally overwrought. But let's say in this case, by not having control over his money. So Chazal felt it was necessary to suspend the Issur D'Rabbanan. Why? Because as I always say, their mandate is to protect the Torah system. So here, in suspending, in allowing the person to, and so to speak, violate the rabbinical prohibition, they're actually overall protecting the D'Oraisa institution. And that's their primary objective. But if I find something, okay, if it's, if it's something that's found, so then you don't give it to the guy, rather you're able to walk it home. And again, we're talking about concerning traversing various Rishuyos, pachos ba'arba amos. So you do it slowly, meaning in small increments to get it back. Okay. Finally, the Rambam turns his attention now to Jews. Okay, all along we've been dealing with non-Jews and how Shabbos doesn't exist in their framework and the Issur D'Rabbanan, etc. Now, the Rambam's going to touch on when a Jew does a malacha on Shabbos, which we haven't really seen yet. Okay? So, halacha chav gimel, Yisrael sha'asa malacha b'Shabbos, if a Jew does malacha on Shabbos, im avar v'asa b'zadon, if he does it on purpose, asa lo lahanos v'osa malacha l'olam. So the Jew can never benefit from that malacha forever. However, ushar Yisrael mutar lahem lahanos b'olam mosi Shabbos miyad. But other Jews can benefit from the malacha as soon as Shabbos is over. Remember, the time you wait for the malacha to be performed was a stringency attached because of the issue that a Jew will ask a non-Jew to do malacha for him on Shabbos. But in this case, where a Jew does a malacha on Shabbos, any other Jew can benefit from it as soon as Shabbos is over. He doesn't have to wait ad kadesh yaseh. Shenemar u'shmartem es Shabbos ki kodesh hi kodesh ve'im ma'aseh ha-kodesh. It's sanctified, but not that which is done. Ketzad, Yisrael shebashal bishal b'Shabbos b'mezid. So if a Jew cooked on Shabbos purposely, the motzi Shabbos yochal la'acherim. So motzi Shabbos, other people can eat the food. Aval lo yochal lamas, but he can never eat it. Then bishal b'shkaga, let's say he cooked at due to negligence. The motzi Shabbos yochal bein hu bein acherim miyad b'chein chol yotzu b'zeh. But if it's shogeg, as soon as Shabbos is over, the fruits of his labor are now permitted. As soon as Shabbos is over. Okay. Peiros, alacha chav dalet. Peiros, sheyatsu, chutz tzchum v'chazru. So let's say fruit leaves the tzchum Shabbos, right? And then comes back in. Bishogeg yochlu b'Shabbos, sharei lo nase, begofen mase, lo nishtanu. So it's permitted to actually have this on Shabbos, because nothing actually happened to the object itself, okay? There was no change in the object. So in a case where there was a violation of tzchum, so in that situation, bishogeg gets fine. B'mezid lo yochlu ad motzi Shabbos. And if it's done purposely, I have to wait until Shabbos is over. So the one difference here is that there was a violation of a malacha. On the other end, though, there was no actual change to the object itself, no creative result that you can see in the object. And finally, halacha chafei, masochar sapoa lishma lo asapara vesatinok lo yitin lo scharo shol Shabbos. So let's say I hire somebody to watch over my baby, let's say a babysitter. I shouldn't give them their money they're owed on Shabbos, lefin ein achrayus Shabbos olav, right? So therefore, since he's not going to get paid on Shabbos, okay, therefore that which happened, that might happen on Shabbos, he's absolved of responsibility. Vimhaya ha-sachir schir Shabbos, o schir shana, right? So, but let's say he's a worker who's hired for, let's say, for the entire year, nosom lo scharo mishalim. Then what you would do is you would actually give, he gets his full payment, and therefore he's responsible for what happens on Shabbos. Velo yomar lo tenli schari shel Shabbos, elo omar lo tenli schari shel shana, o shel asar yamin. But so the worker doesn't say, give me the money for what I did on Shabbos. Rather, he says, give me my yearly amount of money or my 10-day amount of money. So if you're in a situation, this comes up with people who are hired to do work on Shabbos. If you're in a situation of let's say, the famous caterer thing, so there's a specific way, you have to be very careful how that person gets paid when he works on Shabbos. Okay, we're going to stop here. Tomorrow we're going to start Perek Zion, which actually is going to start shifting into the specific malachas themselves. Okay, so the first six prakam have dealt with a lot of the categories, and then we're going to get into how the actual, what the specific malachas are.